2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's begin in verse 3 today. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Notice that we walk in the flesh. We're in this world, but we do not war after the flesh. The Bible said that we do not war. It didn't say we do not war in general. It says we do not war in the flesh, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. There is a warfare that is raging. There are battles being fought on every front and all around us all the time, and you have to be equipped. You have to be encouraged in the battle and equipped for battle, and know that there are weapons God has given you, and that we need to fight a good fight of faith in this life. In John 16, 33, Jesus said that the things that he spoke unto us would give us peace. Then he says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In this world you shall have trouble, you shall have opposition, you shall have challenges, you shall have battles, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Psalms 34, verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Our world is a world of tribulation. Our world is a world of opposition against the very life of God that's on the inside of us. Our world is a world that rages with battles, and you and I need to engage in the battles God's called us to fight. We are all in some kind of form or battle in this house tonight. Many times people will see what I'm going through, and maybe other leaders or certain members of the church, and go, wow, you guys are really in a battle and you're really in a fight. We're always in a battle. We're always in a fight. If we're walking with God, if we're yielded to God, if we're serving God the way God's called us to serve people, we're going to be in a battle, either a personal battle or a battle on behalf of somebody else. But if you are walking with God, and if you're hearing God, you're going to have a battle. Many of us are battling with finances. I don't care at what level you are in your careers. You have things opposing you and your finances, and there's a constant battle to prosper, because everything in this world fights against the prosperity of God and the plan of God for your finances. And if you're not fighting for personal finances for your immediate family, then you're going to find yourself eventually having to fight for the finances of your extended family many times, and for others around you. But many in this house today are fighting a battle on that front, a financial battle. Others are fighting for their families and family challenges, but they're in a battle. They're in a battle for their marriage. They're in a battle not only to survive, but hopefully survive in marriage. And you know, if you have any children, you're going to be constantly in a battle. You're going to have to be fighting for those children. You're going to have to be defending those children. You're going to have to be equipping and preparing those children for life. And it's a battle. It's a fight. It's a war. And if you're strong of heart, and if you're believing for health like I'm believing for help, you're going to eventually have to fight for your grandkids. And if you're really strong of heart like I am, and if you really pursue God like I'm going to pursue God, and if you really live long on the earth and prosper, you're going to be fighting for your great, 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 great grandkids. Amen. So you better learn to fight. And you better learn how to fight. And you better learn to fight successfully, because everyone in here is in some kind of a battle. You're going to have to fight for your health eventually. You may be strong right now and healthy even in the natural and after the flesh, but the Bible says our outer man is decaying. It's the inner man that's being renewed day by day. You're going to have to fight for your health eventually if you're not in a fight right now for your health. A lot of people fight me about that. They refuse to accept the fact that we're aging. And my favorite saying of all times is, look at your high school pictures. You're fading. Some of you fast. I'm talking right in front of me as I speak. you're decaying, you're fading. And so if you do live long, if you are strong of heart and strong of body, you will face physical challenges and you will have to fight and be in a battle for your health. Others are in a battle today for their ministries and for the will of God for their life. My success in ministry is directly tied to many other people's success in ministry. So I not only find myself in battles in the ministry, battles for our church, battles for the kingdom of heaven and the progression of the kingdom of heaven, I find myself in many battles for ministries within the ministry because we're all interconnected in the will of God and in the plan of God. And many times ministry is a battle. It's a fight and to fulfill God's plan for your ministry. Others fight and they're in a battle with addictions. We all are tempted. We all have to deal with lust of some type, some kind, whether it be a lust for food, a lust for power, a lust in the physical realm and our sexuality. All those kind of things are real in life, and we're tempted, and we must fight against them. We must battle. We must war a good warfare against addictions. You can find yourself, if you're not cautious, addicted to even prescribed medicine or illegal drugs or alcohol, etc., etc., etc. But everybody is fighting something. Everyone's in a battle. That's why we need to be sensitive to one another, loving to one another, encourage one another, because everybody in this house at some form or level or another is in a battle. Amen. I want to talk to you today about some battle strategies and the art of war. The art of war. Because there's some basic things in battle that one must adopt, one must understand, one must embrace if you're going to be successful in warfare, in the battles of this life. And I'm telling you, we live in a world. We certainly live in a culture in America today that has forgot the art of war. We don't know how to fight any longer in America. And if we continue in our ignorance to elect people that don't know how to fight, that don't know how to war a warfare, then we're going to lose our country, we're going to lose our freedom, we're going to lose many of us our lives because of the impending danger that is on the horizon. And yet we have people in power in America today that do not understand the art of war. And I submit to you that the natural comes first and then the spiritual. The natural, then the supernatural. And just like Americans today have no idea how to wage a war, have no idea of the art of war, I submit to you most Christians have no idea how to wage a successful war against the enemy that's opposing you today. And just like in America, and how we don't have enough sense in the art of war to understand you can't give the enemy a time that you're going to quit and that you're not going to fight because they'll mark it on their calendar to destroy you. In the kingdom of heaven, you cannot give the devil a timetable when you're not going to fight anymore. He'll just hold out and then steamroll you over and defeat you in life itself. So we need to understand some basic things in warfare. We need to understand that we are in this world, but not of this world. And if we do lose our country, and we will if we don't change and repent soon. And if we lose our freedoms, and many of us, our lives, because we will if we don't repent and we don't change soon, so it is in the kingdom of heaven. We've got to understand that there are some things if you don't fight against, you will be defeated. You will be overcome. And there's an art to fighting, and God's word has given us things. We're in this world, but not of this world. Our weapons are not of this world. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. We are in a fight, and you better wake up soon, not only in the natural, but if we lose everything in the natural, how many of you know the fight goes on in the supernatural? It's incumbent upon me as a man of God with integrity to warn a generation of impending danger and imminent destruction that's on the horizon and not play around with politics. It's also incumbent upon me as a man of God, as a pastor, to warn you of impending danger and that there is a real enemy that you must be equipped and trained on how to fight against in order to be successful. So let's start talking about the art of war. The art of war, the basics in warfare. a biblical paradigm and strategy on how to war a good warfare. Number one, and it is number one. Number one in the art of war, in the Christian faith, and in the kingdom, and in all this tribulation that we're in the midst of in this world, is you must engage in the war. You must engage in this war. Satan is at war with you. You better wake up before it's too late. We had a United States senator in the capital of the greatest country on the planet stand up and say he was concerned about our reputation in the world and how that the militant Muslims may get the impression that we're at war with them, so we need to back up. Darling, it doesn't matter if they get an impression that we're at war with them or not. They have been at war with us a long time, and if we back up, back out, or back down, they will still be at war with us. You not fighting back doesn't change they're going to fight you. You not defending yourself will not change the fact that they will take your life. They will nuke us if we don't stand up to them. And so that's just a fact. And I'm going down on record many times as warning and saying that that is a fact. I'm telling you the same thing's true of the devil. Just because you don't want to fight back doesn't mean he's going to quit fighting you. Just because you don't want to submit to God, James 4:6, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. If you don't submit to God and you don't resist the devil, he's not going to flee. He will steamroll you over. You can act religious. You can act like there's not a problem. You can smoke the biggest peace pipe on the planet full of marijuana herself, and the devil's going to keep on coming to clean your clock. You better fight back. You better engage. I'm here to tell you, in the natural, just like in the supernatural, the spirit that embodied Adolf Hitler is still here. Adolf Hitler's dead and gone, but that spirit of evil is still in the world. And that spirit will embody other people that will exterminate millions of people and not blink an eye. You ignoring it will not change it. So it is in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, Matthew 11:12 says, but the violent take it by force. There's a point where you have to stand up to evil in the natural, and if you won't do that, that's okay. We only lose in the natural. But in the supernatural, you must stand up to evil by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the devil himself will steamroll you over in your marriage, your health, your family, your kids. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, against whom you are to resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are worked into your brethren. There is a devil. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. He is out to steal, kill, and destroy, whether you believe it or not. And ignoring him won't change it. Acting religious and hyper-spiritual and trying to just believe he's not real or a problem does not change the reality. And so you better wake up. I better wake up. We must engage in this battle if we're going to win. Al-Qaeda is at war with us whether we fight back or not. And that's not going to change. Nothing's going to change that. Satan is at war with you whether you fight back or not. And nothing's going to change that. We live in a world, and so many of the brethren, so many Christians just want a life void of combat. Do you know many of you come to church here and all you want is relief? You want relief. You just want me to pass out lazy boy chairs so we can just relax. And surely if there's a lazy boy chair in the spirit, there's got to be a remote control. Can I get a witness? And we just want to flesh out. I can't be the only one that gets battle weary. I can't be the only one that gets tired. I can't be the only one that just wants to go home and even sit in front of the TV sometimes and just be mesmerized. Anybody else? The rest of you lying, gutless dogs. You just get tired. You just don't want to engage. You want to disengage. Listen to me carefully, dear ones. The only battles I've ever lost are the ones I didn't fight. The only battles I've ever lost are the ones I didn't fight. And many times I've engaged in battle and it was real and it was hot in the kitchen and I wanted to disengage. And I thought disengaging would change it, and it doesn't change it. I need a supernatural power. I need a supernatural strength. I need courage. I need to be strong and very courageous and do what God tells me to do that I might make my way prosperous and have good success. You're going to have to be strong and very courageous. You're going to have to know that you know that you know this fight is real, the battle is real, and God has equipped me in Jesus Christ to win every single battle. So number one, I've got to engage and be engaged. Number two, and this is so important, this is so powerful. Number two, in the art of war, our battle is not with people. Our battle is not with people. Now, I need to be reminded of that. Most of you need to be reminded of that, because that is how Satan overcomes most of us, is distracts us from the real battle, the real war, and get us fighting with people. Get us hurt by people. Get us discouraged by people. Get our eyes on people. I'm here to tell you that your battle is not with your wife. Can I get a witness? That was a weak witness. Let's see if we can get our act together in a dyslexic moment. I'm here to tell you that your battle is not with your husband. Can I get a witness? That wasn't all that. Well, it's better. The women got more guts than the men. I'm here to tell you your battle's not with your kids. The devil wants you to get mad at your kids. The devil wants you to focus on your kids and the natural and have a falling out and a fight with your kids. That's not your battle. That's not your war. And a key in the art of war is to realize, God says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. We are wrestling, we are fighting, but not with people. People are not your problem. Listen to me, dear ones, the boss is not the problem. Your boss is not your problem. Your battle's not with your boss. Your battle's not with your wife. Your battle's not with your husband. Your battle's not with your children. And I'll be the first to tell you that they can be challenging in this battle and raising and rearing them. I've just discovered it's not only the spider that eats its young. Bears eat their young. Male bears eat the cub bears. I've had a spirit of a bear and a spider come on me at the same time. Just want to eat them alive. But see, my battle's not with my children. It's not with flesh and blood. And it's not won in a fight with flesh and blood. It's won on my knees. It's won in the throne of God. It's won in the wisdom of God to raise and rear them and to reach them by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. We slip up in this. The people at church are not your problem. Satan may try to use them to hurt you, discourage you, disappoint you, but they're not your problem. They're not your battle. Now, if you don't get nothing else, would you please get this? I'm not your problem. Some of you want to fight with me. I'm not going to fight with Sue. I'm not going to fight with my kids, and I'm not going to fight with you. You're not my problem. I don't fight with Sue. We don't argue. We don't fight. I give her to God. Some of you are looking at me like I mean. I know some of you, you've turned your wife over to the devil for the destruction of her flesh, that her spirit might be saved in the day of judgment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't turn her over to the devil, but I do turn her over to God. I give her to God. And I'm going to show you in warfare how to do that. I don't fight with my children. I turn them over to God. I trust God. And I'm going to show you in warfare how God will fight your battles for you if you know how to fight by faith. By faith. No, people are not my problem. I'm not your problem. I'm not the source of your problem. I'm not again any of you. I am for you. I love you. If you could see the spirit world and how I look in the spirit world, I'm twice the size I am in the flesh, in the spirit world. And I got a white hat on, and I got 245s. I'm telling you, I be the chef of the spirit world. I'm ready to arrest and assault whatever's coming against you, not you. And so the devil wants me to fight with you, so I'm no longer fighting against him. He wants me to fight against Sue, so I'm no longer fighting against him. He wants me to fight against my children. He wants me to fight at church with people. so that I'm no longer fighting against him. Number two, my battle is not with people. I refuse to fight with people, but it is against principalities and powers. Number three in the art of war, this so important, is that the battle is common to us all. The battle is common to us all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the scriptures say there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Amen. You're not going through anything unique. You're not going through anything your brethren around you aren't going through. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 again says that the same afflictions are being worked in your brethren that are in the world. We're all suffering attacks. We're all in a dogfight for our marriages and for our children and for our finances and for our health and for our love and faithfulness one to another. We have got the most wimpy, gutless, godless generation that's ever graced this planet at large. I'd give anything if I could have pastored those people from three generations ago that were tough and rugged and not so touchy and not so wimpy and not so willing to quit and give up. If God was to translate this whole generation back to the beginning of this great nation, and we'd have had to be the people to forge out such a beautiful, godly nation under God, we would have no nation. We would have no generations. We'd have been wiped out a long time ago. My grandmother was in her 80s before she had indoor plumbing. And you complain about everything and complain about this and complain about that. She went to the restroom in an outhouse her whole life. Think about the people just two generations ago that had no running water, no electricity, no baths for months. Now, some of you be excited about that. I'd kind of like it myself. This bath thing's been pressed upon us all. I'm just saying to you, they were a different breed. I'm telling you, they fought the elements. I'm telling you, they fought nature. We talk about winters and people suffering through winter. Can you imagine the forefathers? We talk about the heat and summertime and how we're all collapsing and falling apart. And the forefathers? We talk about transportation, how bad it is. Some of you whining and complaining like life is so hard. We are so blessed we don't know it. We have so many conveniences. It has weakened us. It has softened us. It has feminized us. It has caused us not to be fighters. It's caused us not to be rugged individuals and know what to fight, when to fight, and how to fight. I can't imagine them whining and complaining about harnessing up the mule because we got to go 12 whole miles today and we ain't even got a pooper scooper. Some of you whining about parking on the back 40 and we had to walk so far to church today. We had to walk so far. Not even grateful that you have legs and that some folk don't have legs. Some of you running your husbands down, and he probably is a jerk. I know most of them, they are jerks. But you have one. You have one. We have women in this body that are believing God, standing for a mate. We have widows that would love to have a spouse and love to have a mate and the companionship of a mate. Some of you, again, you're out with your children. You're mad at your children, but you have children. I've had to bury children recently of people that lost their children. My point is, we all are going through something, and the greatest battle you'll have in your mind in this earth is the battle with self-pity, the battle with poor me, the battle with nobody's seen the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows the problems I've endured. Nobody's been through what I've been through. Everybody's going through things. Everybody is going through problems. Others have been where you are and worse and didn't survive but thrived. Didn't collapse but rose in character and endurance and became good soldiers for Jesus Christ to fight other people's battles. One of the reasons God wants you to toughen up and endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, like Paul told Timothy, is so that you can not only be victorious in your personal battles, not only understand the art of war and be successful in prayer, successful in standing, successful in enduring, successful in getting through a tribulation, a trial, an affliction, is that you can know God in intimacy and know your weapons and know how you got through that and help somebody sitting right next to you that's hurting for certain, that's hurting with the same hurts you're hurting with. We're all hurting. We're all suffering. We're all fighting something. And that's why we do need to be merciful, and we do need to be kind, and we do need to be sensitive, even to the people sitting next to us. One of the ways you overcome Satan and you win your battles is with helping other people, getting your eyes off of yourself, learning to deny self, take up your cross, and follow Him. One of the greatest Christian truths that goes untaught, and in most circles misunderstood or not understood at all, is that there's a place where I deny self. I'm not self-centered. I'm not the center of my universe. Everything doesn't rotate around me. Poor me. I'm God-centered, and His kingdom is first, and I seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, and all these other things get added unto me. And as I seek God, and I not only fight my own personal battles, but I start fighting for other people, I see great victory in this life. Number one, you've got to engage in the battle. Number two, the battle is not with people. Number three, it's common to us all. Number four, and this is so powerful, go to Exodus 15. Many people do not know what I'm about to say. Exodus chapter 15, about God and about war and about God's nature. Exodus chapter 15, number four, in the art of war, in being successful in life's challenges, because they're out there, in overcoming in the obstacles set before you, because they're out there. They're out there for us all. In Exodus chapter 15, number four, is God is a God of war. God is a God of war. Look at this. This is Moses singing to the children of Israel after God has defeated all of Egypt. Pharaoh, his whole army, drowned them in the Red Sea. It says in verse 1 of chapter 15, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel with this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name." God is a God of war. God is a God of battles, and that wages war and battles. Anyone who reads the whole Bible, anyone who's honest and looks at the whole, you will see God fighting from the book of Genesis all the way to and through the book of Revelation. You can't let the Old Testament even fall open and there not be something about a battle or a fight on one page or the other. His people have been a people of war for thousands of years and knew how to wage war. Abraham, our father, was a man of war, and he comes home one afternoon and his nephew Lot's been kidnapped. And so he called the House of Representatives and the Senate, and they voted on whether or not they should go get Lot. How many of you know Lot would have died and perished? Abraham did the right thing, fought the right fight at the right time, and Abraham defeated the enemies of his nephew and brought Lot back to God's good land, God's good place in his life. You better quit voting. You better quit looking at what others are going to do and how they're going to engage or disengage in this fight. And you better know that God is a man of war and that you need to fight this good fight of faith, because that's what it is. It's a good fight of faith. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, please mark it again. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Now, this leads me to number 5, that is a profound revelation of war. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. God is a man of war. And when I say that, obviously, many questions come into our heart. What does that mean? How does that apply? Well, one thing that we need to understand in warfare and in God being a man of war is that there is not a direct battle between God and Satan personally. I often say there is a battle raging between heaven and hell, God and the devil, good and evil, moral and immoral, and we're caught in the middle. That's the part you need to understand. We're caught in the middle. There's no direct battle between God and the devil. There's no fight between God and the devil. The devil rose up, Lucifer, and a third of the angels, and that was the shortest, quickest fight in the history of the universe, and it wasn't even a struggle. God shipped his saddle home, amen. And I'm real proud that I didn't say but that time. Kicked him out of heaven, and there is no direct battle between God and Satan. That's not even a fight. That's not even a battle, but God is a God of war. Watch this. Number 5 in the art of war. Number 5 in our understanding is your personal battle is a part of God's war. Your personal battle is a part of God's war. My personal battles, I need to hear this. I need to know this. Because I think of warfare and I think of God and the devil and right and wrong and I kind of see the big picture, but I get lost in the big picture. There is no battle directly between Satan and God. My personal battles are a part of God's war. God fights for me. God fights my battles. Not his. He doesn't have a battle. I'm the one with the battles. God doesn't have a problem. I'm the one with the problem. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's read it. Because y'all are kind of looking at me like a calf at a new gate. Amen. Verse 1 of Exodus chapter 20. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies. Am I the only one that has had to go out to battle against my enemies? Recently, I've had to go out to battle against a lot of enemies. I need a word from God. I need encouraged. Joshua chapter 1 is where God taught the greatest military general in the Old Testament, Joshua, how to wage warfare and how to, by faith, take a step. You better be strong and very courageous and fear not. I'm with you. Just like I was with Moses, I'm with you. Watch this. He says the same thing here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 20. He says, when you go out to war against your enemies and you see horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when you shall come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Now, I'm not a priest like the Old Testament priest, but I am a pastor. I am a shepherd, an under-shepherd. And you people are going out to battle, whether you know it or not. When you leave here, you will go out to battle. There will be battles raging against you. There will be challenges that you don't even know are on the horizon. I need to speak to you like the priest spoke to them. Verse 3 says, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. The only fight God's got is the one I invite him to. God's a man of war, but he's not out warring on his own and for his own. He's waiting on somebody to trust him. He's waiting on some people to quit fearing and trembling at the circumstances, because the circumstances always minister fear to us. I don't care how long you serve God, dear ones. I don't care how much God uses you. You will have to deal with fear and anxiety and stress and being terrified by things that are on the horizon. That was a mystery to me. I really thought after years of victories, after years of seeing miracles, after years of seeing the power of God, I'd come to a place in my development that I would never fear, that I would never be tempted to fear. I would just trust God automatically. Now, I discovered that after every battle, after every victory, you better celebrate and you better enjoy it because it's short-lived. There's another fight on the way that's bigger and badder than the one you just won. And so fear comes. The circumstances tell you you ain't going to make it. The circumstances and what you can see, many horses, many chariots, there's more of them than us. You better learn to walk by faith and not by sight. You better learn to face your fear. You better learn to stand your fear down, or it will get in your heart and you will faint. Number five again is, my personal battle is God's war and a part of God's war. Now that also leads me in this passage to number six. In the art of war, fear has to be dealt with. Do not fear, only believe. Number six, do not fear, only believe. Now, I've done so much better on my time constraints. I'm a little further than I was last service because I wanted to spend some time explaining the difference between the spirit of fear and the spirit of faith, and I didn't get to that the other two services. And so I want you to listen carefully, and I may have to go over this again next week for the others that didn't get it, but there is a spirit that comes with fear. And there's a spirit of faith. Write down 2 Timothy 1:7. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, now we all having the same spirit of faith, we all having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. See, there's a spirit of faith and there's a spirit of fear. See, fear and those negative emotions of fear release demonic problems and power in your life, and faith releases the power of God in your life. Both are a spirit. There's an attitude, and both are contagious. Do you know an animal, this is a scientific fact, that an animal can sense your fear, and that your fear will embolden an animal to attack you. They innately are afraid of you. All animals are afraid of you. God put a fear of man in all the animals. But if man fears an animal, that releases, there's a negative energy that comes from fear. A negative scent that comes from fear that emboldens the enemy. Satan works in fear and intimidates you with fear and wants you to continually respond by fear in order that he might defeat you and be emboldened to keep attacking you. Faith is the opposite of fear. It's a positive stance. Fear believes the lies of the devil and empowers him to keep pressing. Faith believes the promises of God. Faith reacts to the promise of God. Fear reacts to the lies of the devil. Faith reacts to the promises of God and releases the power of God in our lives. And it's contagious. It's infectious. You'll recall that when Gideon went out to war, when Gideon was called by God to face this great company and great enemy, he had thousands and thousands of people with him. And they were all excited about the fight. And then when crunch time came, God says, tell everybody that's afraid to go home. And thousands went home. Why does God continually tell us throughout the whole Bible, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear? Fear is a negative response to the enemy that emboldens him. Faith is our positive response to God that emboldens God on our behalf. Are y'all out there? This is important. You can look at David's life and his battle with Goliath and how that fear had struck the whole army of God. And where did that fear came from? Where did the fear that caused the whole army of Israel to be hunkered down afraid of Goliath. Every one of them were afraid of Goliath, and they were paralyzed, and they weren't fighting anymore, and they were intimidated. Where'd that fear came from? I submit to you, it came from Saul, and it was contagious and infectious. And where did faith come from? Faith came from God, and David having his eyes on God and not looking at his circumstances and not allowing his natural world to minister to him and cause fear. He kept his eyes on the Lord. He kept his eyes focused on the Lord, and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God?" He knew God was with him. God was for him. And then he's not fighting that enemy in his own strength, his own might, his own power. He knew it would be the might and power of the Lord. And he charged Goliath and just knocked that thug down with a rock in his forehead. Didn't pull out before the mission was accomplished and cut his head off, held it up, and all of Israel shouted and charged the Philistines. Faith is contagious. It's infectious. Look at verse 8 because of time constraints. God says in verse 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 20, "And the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return into his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart." You're never going to be effective in the battles of this world if you're going to hang around people full of fear and full of doubt and full of unbelief. You're going to have to hang around people of faith and courage and that know how to believe God and fight a good fight of faith. Man, thank God for a church that is infectious and contagious with the spirit of faith. That's why I refuse to let my heart get faint. I refuse to let you get to me, my wife get to me, my kids get to me, anybody else get to me. I'm going to stay strong of heart, full of faith, because it's contagious and infectious. And if you'll keep coming, man, I'll fire you up to fight a good fight. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And after you've done all to stand, you stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth," etc., etc., etc. We need to make sure we're attending a house of faith, and that even in the house of faith, we do not allow those that are faint of heart and full of fear to infect us. God's bringing this ministry to another level. He's bringing us all to another place. And the leadership has to be strong and courageous. And there's some things worth fighting for. And we must engage and we must fight. We must fight for the spirit of the house. We must fight for our culture. This church is driven by culture, not by structure. This church is driven by an atmosphere and a DNA that is such, you can visit for a while and we get off on you instead of you getting off on us, amen? That's culture. We've had to fight for that. It took us years to get to a place where you people would be comfortable clapping. Took us years to get to a place where coming to church was fun. Took us years to get to a place where there was an excitement. Every time you come, you know you're going to hear a word of faith. You know the Holy Spirit's going to move in your life and that he's going to touch your heart and that he's going to meet with you. He's going to tabernacle with you. He's going to be your God, your strength, your deliverer, the captain of your army and fight your battles for you. Amen. Man, that's awesome. You need a revelation of this. I need to increase in my revelation that it's God fighting my battles for me. That's why I won't fight with you. God will fight for me. That's why I won't fight with anybody. And I'm not going to be distracted and fight in the natural and neglect the supernatural fight. Because as long as I'm obeying God, and as long as I'm loving people and serving people, God will fight my battles. I wish I could take time with every single one of you and document and walk you through battles I've had my whole life and how God fought for me, how God moved for me. See, there's a place that people can come against you and you don't let that get to you and you don't let it distract you and you don't let it bother you. God's going to fight for you. God's fighting for me for our children's church and that building. God's fighting for me for Sherman and that outreach. God's fighting for me and the locations and being able to transfer that DNA into people's hearts and people's lives. God will fight for you if you will trust Him, if you will believe Him, if you will not fear, nor be dismayed, nor terrified by the challenges that are real. One of the points I won't get to, because now I am running out of time, but one of the points I won't get to is your problem's real, but not the real deal. There's more to this world than what we see. There's more to this world than what we feel. There's more to this problem than what it looks like. There's an unseen world. And in 2 Kings chapter 13, we may look at this next week in detail, but it was the prophet Elisha that was being used by God in warfare against Syria that had attacked Israel. And the king of Syria would make his plans in his bedchamber, and Elisha on his knees, where he's supposed to be fighting, would hear the plans and tell Israel to avoid an ambush. And the king of Syria thought they had a spy, and some lightning fast person among them said, "Oh no, king, we don't have no spy. There's a prophet that while you talk, in your bedchamber, in his bedchamber, he hears what you say and tells the king." And the king says, "I want that guy." And he surrounded an entire army around Elisha. And Elisha gets up one morning, and he's got some servant with him, and they get outside the tent, and the servant panics. "Oh my goodness, we're surrounded by a great army." Elisha gets up, yawns a little bit. Servant's panicking. "What's wrong, dude?" "Look, we're in trouble. We're surrounded by an army." Elisha goes, "Lord, open his eyes that he might see." And the Bible says God opened the young lad's eyes, and there was legions of angels all around them, ready for Elisha to believe God. Kind of like sick them to a dog. If you'll fight by faith, they'll engage. And God did a powerful thing in that prophet's life. Psalms 91 says He's given His angels charge over us to uphold us and keep us in all our ways, lest we dash our foot against a stone. If we only knew how much God's for us, if we only knew how much He loved us, if we only knew how merciful He is because of our imperfections and guilt and the past, many of us really don't believe God's for us and really don't believe He'll fight our fights, but He will fight our battles. Fear not, be not dismayed. Engage. Get after it. Start trusting God, and you'll see the salvation of God in your life. Amen. 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 I want you to stand. I want to pray for your marriages. I want to pray for your children. I want to pray for your health. I want to encourage you today to focus on God, to focus on the promises of God, to not be battle weary, but get battle ready and fight a good fight of faith. And I pray that there's a supernatural infusion of courage, a supernatural infusion of what's burning in my heart, because I get battle weary too. I've had a rough week. But you didn't come here to hear about my rough week. You came here to be taught on how to overcome rough weeks. I'm an overcomer. I'm like that old dog that's about beat down and beat up, but you just hit it with a stick and something rises up in it. You'd have been better off to have left it alone. The devil is so stupid. Many times if he would have left me alone, I might have just laid down and just give up on some of these fights I'm fighting. But boy, he hit me one time too many. And there's just something, just I don't know what it is. It's not in my personality. I'm not a fighter in the flesh. There's something about my spirit, man. You slap me and I'm fixing to slap you back. Something rises up on the inside of me. And that's what's happened to me this week. And I pray that something supernatural has been imparted and that you rise to another level. You fight for your marriages. I'm fighting for your marriages more than some of you are. That ain't right. Fight for your kids. I shouldn't be the only one fighting for your kids. Fight for your health and your family's health. And don't take it for granted. And continue to believe God and grow in your faith concerning your health and your finances and things of that nature. Father, I ask you to stretch forth your hand and that signs and wonders would be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus, and that you would make us a people of war, that we would toughen up, we would endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we would see that we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through you to the pulling down of whatever needs to come down. And I thank you for that truth. I pray that we engage. I pray we quit fighting with people. I pray that we rebuke self-pity and not self-destruct and lose our focus. I pray that we know and come to know personally the God of war that fights our battles, that takes our personal battles personal and become a part of his war. And I pray that we fear not, nor be dismayed, neither tremble at what we face, but that we would be strong in the Lord, not ourselves, but in the Lord and in the power of his might. Thank you, Father, for clothing us in your armor. Thank you for the revelation of this beginning to spring forth in many people's heart. And those of us who know the battle, enlarge our hearts to fight a better fight and to be more effective. And I covenant to give you the praise and the glory for all that you've done, doing, and will do in our midst and our hearts. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. We bless you.